From the Land DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of January 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Todd Hubbs will join us. He's penned an article for the FarmDoc Daily website, this time previewing USDA's reports due out on Friday at 11 o'clock. There will be three of them: the final crop production report for the season, the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates, and the December 1 grain stocks numbers. We'll talk about all of those with Todd. And then we'll discuss, as we close out our time together, the weather forecast for South America, the United States, and parts of Russia. We'll do that with John Davis. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. And January means that we will get the final crop production numbers for the year. In fact, that happens on Friday of this week at 11 o'clock Central Time. Kind of a triple witching hour there. We'll get the final crop production numbers, the December 1 grain stocks report, and that will be figured right into the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or the WASD numbers, that USDA will release. What do you expect?
Well, the trade's expecting some little bit of a negative reaction, possibly, from ideas that demand could be slowed in through here, and that the ending stocks could rise somewhat. Bean ending stocks are currently at 445 million bushels for the U.S. Trade feels that maybe that could be bumped up 20 million bushels. Corn estimate, about in line. Last month, ending stocks was 2437. The fear is that the corn yield could get just a little bit bigger and corn exports could slip just a tad bit. But as you mentioned there, the quarterly grain stocks report is probably the most important number. It'll gauge our first quarter usage. Now, the thing is, on the world numbers, supply-demand balance sheet, they'll watch the Brazilian production. Ideas are that Brazil's production could inch up some, whereas Argentine's could be unchanged to slightly lower due to their dry growing conditions. The trade kind of feels at the moment that Brazil could make up what Argentina might lose, but that's a little longer-term process here. We got to get through January and February before we start to see that happen. So domestic-wise, some important numbers to watch. International-wise, that southern hemisphere, see if they start to juggle those production numbers around a little bit.
And when you talk to producers and take a look at elevator bids around the United States, what do you see in the way of basis and movement of corn in this early part of January?
Highly variable. Not seeing the flood of grain come to the marketplace, but depending on where you're at, guys that are geared up to pick from several locations have the upper hand here on trying to get the best cash bid they can. For those kind of landlocked or committed to one source, it might be a little bit of a struggle. Overall, the trade's fairly well aware that we still have a lot of grain to move here this winter. Compared to last fall, we've seen some fairly decent improvement here in cash bids, whether or not it's, or in the basis levels, that is, whether or not it's paid for storage or not. Due to the flat price dropping, has been a real challenge. Central Illinois cash bids kind of held in that 315 area most last fall. When you look at Central Illinois cash bids, we've moved up to about 325.5. So a slight bump, but not as high or as much as what producers hope to see.
What are we hearing about the river system and its ability to continue to move grain? I suspect it's closed up pretty tightly by now.
Well, that's the fear. The colder temperatures slowed things down dramatically. Gulf bids basis was firm there last week, trying to get some Gulf grain out of the Gulf there. We're still moving stuff off the Pacific Northwest. Warmer temperatures in the forecast here, so we'll monitor, you know, that as we go. It's a seasonal event, and the grain industry's fairly well, a little bit ahead of the curveball.
And for the livestock?
We're seeing the concern that we're going to see quite a bit of cattle come to the feedlot here. Dry conditions. Look for the placement numbers to really start to escalate here. And ideas that maybe some of this export news could slow. So the fat market's kind of a little bit of in trouble here short term. Quite a bit of spreading, selling cattle and buying hogs on the spread. We feel overall beef consumption strong and that this downturn in here would actually find support here as we move into the end of the month.
Hey, thanks so much. Any final word before I let you go?
Yeah, the trade of 2018, if you look at the Bitcoin versus corn, when the Bitcoin was trading about $200, $250, people were uncertain about it. They didn't think it would work. All of a sudden, we're at 15,000. Everybody looks back, boy, I wish I'd bought that Bitcoin down there when it was $200, $250. Corn at historic lows in through here. And there's no reason to buy corn. Nobody likes corn. But the July $4 corn calls are 5.5 cents. If they get down to 5 cents, that's $250. If La Nina kicks in, China buys, that $250 could escalate fairly nicely. Not like the Bitcoin, but at least something to the upside there, Todd.
Indeed. Hey, thanks so much, Kurt. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, President Donald Trump will be in Nashville today to speak to the American Farm Bureau Federation's 99th annual convention. The AFBF noted recently that after three consecutive years of decline in farm sector profits, President Trump will speak to Farm Bureau members during a period of prolonged economic challenge across farm country. In fiscal year 2017, the U.S. exported $140.5 billion worth of agricultural products, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture explained recently that exports are responsible for 20% of U.S. farm income, also driving rural economic activity and supporting more than 1 million American jobs, both on and off the farm. AFBF members will be keenly interested, of course, in any remarks the president makes regarding trade policy and especially the North American Trade Agreement. He is expected to speak later this afternoon. On that note, political reports, although Mr. Trump will reiterate his desires for trade deals he considers fair to the United States, the president will focus on other issues, that according to a senior White House official. The president is not expected to talk much about his immigration agenda either. Instead, Mr. Trump will play to his strengths with the audience by touting his deregulatory agenda and recently enacted tax cuts. Now, Mr. Trump is also expected to endorse recommendations for revitalizing rural America, namely connecting regions to broadband that the White House Agricultural and Rural Prosperity Task Force is expected to publish today. One of the first tasks Mr. Trump enlisted Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue to do was to head up the task force, which by executive order asked cabinet members to spend 180 days identifying the biggest challenges facing the nation's rural areas. In October, USDA spokesperson confirmed that the report had been sent to the White House. The report focuses on five areas of improvement in rural agriculture: e-connectivity, improving quality of life in rural areas, improving the quality of rural workforce, using technology to empower rural areas and improve economic development. But it doesn't really propose anything new. Rebecca Adcock, a senior USDA advisor, acknowledged that many of the report's suggestions have been proposed before. She says they shouldn't be remarkable, but they haven't been put all in one place, and they haven't been qualified, and they haven't been measured. And finally today, let's talk about the cold snap we just went through. If growers of winter wheat learned one thing over the past financially wretching years, it was how to prepare for more trouble ahead, as much of the nation has suffered from a deep freeze over the past week. Hard red winter wheat growers in states like Kansas and Oklahoma were already not expecting much success this year, and they have been battling price declines, of course, from the world's global wheat glut and a recent drought. Data tracked by Herndon, Virginia-based Radiant Solutions, estimates the damage occurred in about a quarter of the hard red winter wheat belt in the Central Plains from the cold weather. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Later this week, the United States Department of Agriculture, Friday morning at 11 o'clock, by the way, and you can check out our website at that point and my Twitter feed at Commodity Week for the numbers. The United States Department of Agriculture will release three reports, the crop production figures, the final ones for the last growing season, the monthly WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report, and the December 1 grain stocks number. These are important reports, and they'll give us an indication in particular of how the exports from the United States for corn and soybeans have been moving along. Todd Hubbs has been thinking about that. He's an agricultural economist, a commodity market specialist here on campus, and wrote about it for today's Farm Doc Daily. You can read that at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I talked to him a bit earlier this morning about the article he posted there, some of the numbers as it relates to the lag that's certainly in both the exports for corn and soybeans. He's very concerned about corn, and soybeans he doesn't think is a whole lot better at this point.
When you look country by country, soybean exports over the first quarter of this marketing year, September through November, China's where we've lost our market share for the most part. Now, corn export numbers are just atrocious. They're way worse than even I thought they were going to be at the start of this marketing year. I mean, we're running 36% behind last year's pace, which is just incredible. Now, the USDA projected corn exports 16% lower from 16-17, and we're running 36% behind on export inspections. That's through January 4th for your listeners. So we are really not seeing strong export numbers from corn, and most of this has been in Asian markets. I've looked through the census numbers through November, and then I looked through the export inspections week by week, and what you see is our Central and South American major trading partners, Mexico, Colombia, Peru, places like that, they're at or above last year's imports from us in corn. But Japan, South Korea, Taiwan are well below, well off the pace. Off the pace from last year, off the pace from a five-year average of the first quarter of what they export, just off the pace. Now, when you look through the December export inspection numbers for corn, it's strengthening. The corn export's strengthening, but it always does at this time of year. Well, not always, but usually it does if we have a decent crop, and we do have a decent crop. But we're sort of seeing that same dichotomy taking place where, you know, our Asian partners are starting to come in, but not at the level we normally expect. I mean, Japan's a major corn importer. They always have been. We sort of rely on them to be there for the numbers. I think in the end they might be, but they're not on pace right now. So we'll have to see. But we're well off the pace on corn exports. I'm a little more optimistic on corn exports moving forward in 2018 than I am on soybean exports, and a lot of this has to do with how I see production in South America unfolding. But we're still not on pace to hit the number that USDA is currently projecting of 1.925 billion bushels.
Are there factors like there are in the soybean export market where the protein is off in the United States, so they're moving to soybean exports exported from Brazil? Is there something that you can identify? I know corn's not operated that way.
No, I don't see that. Brazil. I'm trying to dig into that. I'm still digging through it, trying to sort out what's going on with Asian markets for us and corn. I think they're going to end up being there when it's all said and done. I sort of need to think about this. They had a huge second crop last year in Brazil, and it was dirt cheap in Brazil. And because of that, they planted more soybean acres this year and pushed. They're down 3% in corn acreage in Brazil, and all of that came out of the first crop, which means they've most of the, a larger percent, about 71% of the corn production in Brazil is going to be in the second crop. And they've sort of had issues with planting in Brazil for soybeans. So that might delay the planting of the second crop corn in Brazil, which sort of pushes them into the dry season with that crop, We've seen some issues with Argentinian corn planting with some dry weather. So all in all, like, a lot of the uncertainty surrounding production of corn in South America sort of favors U.S. exports in 2018. I don't think I answered your question there. I think, and I haven't got into this in deep detail yet, I think Brazil ships some corn, but I just think the Asian markets, they're hanging out a little bit from the corn market right now. I'd like to see them come in. When you look through the export numbers week to week, it's picking up a little bit from places like South Korea and Japan, but in the end, we need to see those numbers higher. It's nothing like it was last year, and we're never going to see it another last year unless we have a production shortfall like we saw in the 16-17 crop year in South America. They didn't have that. They had huge crops across the board. So I think what we're seeing is a real issue with our export markets and how competitive South America has become.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Todd Hubbs, of course, is an agricultural commodity market specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Now, let's turn our attention to what's been happening in the cash grain market. We're joined by Brian Stark. He's at the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it was cold and really hard out, and now it's warmer and kind of sloppy out, I suppose. Neither is good for moving corn.
No, things are a little quiet on the receiving end of things. As you mentioned, cold last week, hard on equipment to get on the road, and now it's warming up at least for the first part of this week where it's going to make it less frozen to get out as well. So slow piece of January to begin the new year as far as inbound receipts.
Mostly evening up this week, you think, before the USDA reports Friday?
I think for the most part, you know, in our analysis, we kind of thought maybe given the fund composition in the three markets, being short all three commodities, corn, beans, and wheat, that we'd see a little short covering ahead of the report on Friday. We didn't start out the week like that, obviously with the market being down today, but I think the market's just in a kind of a range-bound action with not much new news driving it one way or the other, and the big report out Friday, I don't expect to see a lot of volatility ahead of that.
Any changes you're looking forward to?
No, I think it's corn. You might see a higher yield with coupled with a little bit better demand in feed and ethanol usage. Beans, maybe a little bit of the opposite, a slightly smaller yield with maybe some export cuts given the slow pace of export demand. So that's kind of what we're looking at on Friday, and we'll know a lot more and be a lot smarter here come 11 o'clock Central Time.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are 332 cash corn. New crop 2018 fall corn is 361. Cash soybeans 942. Fall beans 954. And July new crop wheat is 438.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon. John Davis is here. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. John, thanks for being with us. A lot of ground to cover. Let's start with South America, work our way from Argentina northward. They've had dry conditions, looking for rainfall to alleviate some of that.
Yeah, we are going to get some better rains coming into some areas of Argentina as we go through the next week or 10-day time frame. It's interesting is that the rains coming into Argentina, they are not all-encompassing. So you will improve some of the acreage across Argentina, but other areas will tend to be missed out somewhat across that zone. So the bottom line right now for Argentina, a little bit of a mixed situation, certainly not, you know, widespread major problems, but you do have a situation where some areas are in need of getting rain, some areas in pretty good shape, so widely variable across Argentina. The opposite is true in Brazil, where weather conditions have been and will continue to be very favorable. We don't see any real major issues, no real risk as we go through from now into the latter portion of January.
Here in the United States, we've had a warm-up, and boy, does it feel warm, though it's not all that warm.
Well, it's amazing how good 32 degrees feels, right?
Yes.
It's incredible after that kind of a stretch. Again, a stretch of historic cold across the Midwest and really much of the central and eastern U.S. We do have about 5 days of very warm conditions. However, over the upcoming weekend for about another 4 or 5 days, another significant cold shot comes down. Not as severe as what we've been through over the last couple of weeks, but still, temperatures well below normal. And then after that 5 days, we warm up substantially again, with highs back up in the 50s later on next week. So it is a real roller coaster ride from a temperature standpoint through the next couple of weeks.
Farmers across the nation, even here in the Midwest, are chattering about how dry the conditions have been, though that usually gets taken care of during the spring months. However, dry conditions in the plains have been around for a long time. What do you think there?
They've been around since the middle of October, and this is a historically dry period across the central and southern plains. One of the reasons why the hard red winter wheat crop got so poorly established. We see no improvement. We see no change in that situation, not only short term, but even longer term as we think about the latter portion of the winter. So even though the crop is in a dormant state right now, that is an area to monitor as we go through late winter and also looking ahead towards spring.
And then finally, as we get the warm-up here, and sometimes this happens, I don't know whether these are two things are quite related. If we get warmer, Russia tends to get colder. It's kind of the polar opposite of us. Are we concerned at all about Russia and Ukraine and other places that would have a winter wheat crop?
It's an area to watch because, as a matter of fact, as we get warmer, they are getting colder. It's all the position of the polar vortex, and the polar vortex is more so headed into Asia. No threatening cold right now over the next 10 days or so, but that is a situation to watch because they have no protective snow cover. And we've even gotten some reports that some of that winter wheat crop began to come out of dormancy, which is extremely unusual for that area of Russia.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you and Mark Russo again next week.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Risk Pulse. He's from Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Check us out online. Listen to us anytime you'd like, on demand. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the NPR One app, any way that you listen to a podcast. And one of my favorite ways is right there off the website at willag.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.